Hey everyone, Dr. Miles here, and this is Module 4, Video 3. This is on small intestinal fungal overgrowth testing. Now, testing is very not great for small intestinal fungal overgrowth, and so we need to have some understanding for when we might be suspicious of CFO. Unexplained gut symptoms, unexplained IBS, especially when we've done some other preliminary testing and we haven't seen anything else, that can definitely be small intestinal fungal overgrowth. Maybe if SIBO has been treated, especially if it's been treated with rifaximin, which is antibacterial and not antifungal, when we do herbal antibacterial, many of those substances are also antifungal, and so often the herbal approach to treating SIBO will address CFO as well, but especially if SIBO is treated with an antibiotic approach using rifaximin or xifaxan, and the SIBO breath test comes back clear, but there are still symptoms, that could definitely be small intestinal fungal overgrowth. When we see interstitial cystitis, that's another sign that there could be a fungal overgrowth. Excessive food reactivities can also be linked to fungal overgrowth, and chronic fatigue as well. So we want to look for, if there are chronic infections or what we call stealth pathogens, when the immune system is distracted with another chronic infection. So the classical conventional idea of when fungal overgrowth tend to happen as in immunocompromised individuals. But we're seeing more in research now that even people with healthy, normal immune responses are getting yeast overgrowth. And small intestinal fungal overgrowth, we find more likely when there are other chronic infections that may be distracting the immune system. And so the immune system is a little less maybe likely to see and respond to a fungal overgrowth. If there's been a history of excessive blood sugar and or alcoholism, we see a higher frequency of small intestinal fungal overgrowth. And this is a clinical observation. And then when there's toxic metal elevation, and part of this comes from where there's been some evidence that Candida may be able to sequester some mercury. And so there may be some ability for an intelligent response from the body in presence of excessive mercury to increase yeast to help to sequester some of that mercury away from the brain or other healthful tissues or organs. So if there's excessive mercury in particular or other toxic metals, we may consider that that may be an increased likelihood for a fungal overgrowth. Now, in that kind of case, we'd want to begin our chelation process or our detoxification process prior to beginning our fungal treatment, because if yeast is sequestering extra metals, we want to make sure that we have a process already begun in place for chelation or detoxification. Otherwise, we wouldn't want to kill off fungi that are sequestering metals that might enter the system. And this is in the realm of speculation. There's not direct research on if you treat fungal overgrowth and there's mercury elevation that could get worse. But in our clinical experience and based on some of the mechanisms, it seems like that's probably a better idea. So making sure that you've begun a couple of supplements for detoxification and chelation prior to beginning the fungal treatment if there is a toxic metal elevation. Autoimmune disease, of course, has a relationship to leaky gut, which could be caused by SIBO or CFO. And chronic skin reactions. Now, skin reactions, there's definite skin issues like acne rosacea that have been linked to SIBO and H. pylori. And there's a link between some autoimmune skin conditions like psoriasis with potentially some of the underlying root cause having a relationship with leaky gut and or SIBO. and other skin reactions may be fungal in nature. One way to look at a skin reaction and determine if there's a fungal component to it is to get a black light and have someone go into a dark room, shine the black light, and if there's a yellow hue, a glowing yellow hue over that skin reaction, that increases the likelihood that that is a fungal component to that. And with chronic skin reactions, internal SIFO treatment in conjunction sometimes with an external antifungal treatment on the natural side, that could be something like colloidal silver and tea tree oil mixed, tea tree essential oil could be mixed in with some colloidal silver gel or some other saponified olive oil or fractionated coconut oil, and that could be helpful in on the natural side, or of course antifungal creams. So, in terms of SIFO testing, in the research-based setting, taking a culture of some of the fluids in the small intestine, the duodenal aspirate, and then culturing that on a petri and seeing what grows and analyzing that is the gold standard. But that's, of course, rarely done in a clinical setting because it's very invasive and it's a procedure that isn't one that most clinicians are going to do. It's highly invasive. It's not a great test outside of a research-based setting. So what we can do, there's no direct test for SIFO other than duodenal aspirate. But what we can do is we can do stool testing for yeast and or fungus. And in stool test, if we find more microscopic yeast or if isolated, there is a strain of yeast, like Candida, for example, then we may consider that that yeast, in addition to being in the stool, may be, and it doesn't say for sure, but it may be also in the small intestine. We can look at Candida blood antibody testing, so doing IgG antibodies and maybe also IgA, IgM antibodies for Candida in the blood can potentially be another way to see if there is an immune response against Candida, which again doesn't tell you if the Candida or the fungus is overgrown in the small intestine, but it can be a test that could be used to weigh in on whether there's an overall excess or burden of fungus somewhere, and that would warrant an antifungal treatment. Organic acids testing has a metabolite called D-arabinitol, and if that's elevated, that can be a sign also of fungal elevation. And depending on the organic acids test you do, some of them may have more fungal markers. Some of them may just have the D-arabinitol. So that is one marker, and there may be others as well. They're metabolites as well that can be used for assessing for if there is a greater likelihood for yeast being overgrown somewhere. And again, it's not specific to the small intestine, but it could be. So here's a stool culture. And you can see on this stool culture that there were, on the yeast culture, no yeast that were isolated and identified. And on the microscopic yeast, the result was none when we expected none to rare. This is a clean test. This means we don't see yeast evidenced on a stool test. But if under normal flora we saw Candida albicans, or under dysbiotic flora we saw yeast, or under microscopic yeast we saw many or even few, which is more than the none to rare, that could be a finding that could indicate that yeast is an issue. Here's an organic acids test where you can see the D-arabinitol, and you can see that it's high in this particular test at 46. So that does indicate that there may be an overgrowth. We also see D-lactate is high, and that could relate to a general bacterial overgrowth as well. So this could be a case of bacterial plus fungal overgrowth, and then the Indican and the p-hydroxyphenylacetate also indicate some bacterial potential issues. So this one is one that would evidence doing some yeast treatment in conjunction with other things may be helpful. So those are some of the tests that you can get an idea for SIFO, but there is no direct test. And even with a negative on the stool, like we saw that negative, and even if organic acids was negative too, and even if candida antibodies were negative, that there still could be a fungal overgrowth. So there's no perfect test for small intestinal fungal overgrowth outside of a research-based setting. So in the clinic, our best bet is to maybe do one of those other tests, maybe do a stool test or a candida antibody test or an organic acids test, but really using clinical guidelines for diagnosing of looking at symptoms, looking at whether fungal issues have been treated prior, looking at whether there are other stealth infections, looking at whether there is immunocompromise, looking at whether there may be some of the symptoms that are associated with SIFO, like unexplained GI symptoms when there's been a negative small intestinal bacterial overgrowth breath, that those all are signs that there could be an issue with a fungal overgrowth. Of course, chronic recurrent yeast infections of various kinds can also point in that direction, and skin reactions. So for testing, this is more of a, at this point, clinical diagnosis versus a testing-based diagnosis. So use your clinical experience, and while you don't have so much clinical experience, do some trials with some of the safe, natural antifungals. If you're getting good results, you'll start to get that clinical experience and be able to speak to people about, you know what, this is strange, you're not getting the level of result that we would have thought from SIBO treatment, we're going to add some yeast treatment. And you'll start to get that sense. Or, you know what, you have a lot of unexplained GI symptoms and that SIBO test came back normal and there's nothing on a stool test. Let's go ahead and see if we can treat SIFO and if we get some results. Or we're treating SIBO with rifaximin, for example, and I think we're going to add some nystatin or fluconazole because you've had this going on for a long time, and we want to make sure that if there is a concurrent fungal overgrowth, which we know there is in a percent of people, about 20% with SIBO may have SIFO as well. So then we're going to go ahead and concurrently treat with both drugs. So that could be another option as well. Thank you so much for watching. In the next video, we're going to be talking about SIFO treatment, the herbal side of it. So look forward to sharing that information with you, and thank you so much for watching.